Oh, hello everybody. You just caught me eating my words there. You're listening to Vegan Talk with me, Anthony.
Me, Julie.
And me, Kate.
Welcome everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Today we're talking about the documentary Pignorant.
Yeah, this is a documentary that's just come out from Joey Carbstrong and is available for you to watch on Amazon Prime.
Now, avid listeners to the pod will have heard us briefly talking about the trailer for this film. It was in episode 43 of Vegan Week, for those of you taking notes. But for today's episode, we have the three of us. We've watched the entire film recently. Also, we've got a little cameo from Carlos, who I was recording with yesterday, and he's watched it too. So we've got a few minutes hearing what he's got to say about it too. Obviously, if you want to see the film with no spoilers and you don't want to know much about it, then prob's best just pause the show now. This podcast's not going anywhere, and you can listen to this spoiler-free once you've watched it. But if you're still listening, then it's because you either don't care about spoilers or you have already watched it. So now we've had that little spoiler disclosure. Julie, do you want to give us a bit of background to the film, kind of like give us a bit of a synopsis before we get into the details and our responses?
Okay, well, Amazon Prime, which is the platform that you can access this documentary, their description is: Pignorant follows former gang member turned animal activist Joey as he embarks on a three-year-long undercover investigation into the UK's pork industry. Joey takes us on an eye-opening journey to witness firsthand what life is really like for farmed pigs in the UK, a country that claims to have some of the highest welfare standards in the world. The story centres around a dangerous mission to expose a long-running, hidden aspect of the worldwide pork industry, CO2 gas chambers.
So, film is about an hour and 40 minutes, I think, isn't it? Let's go into our emotional responses to the film and what we thought. You've summed it up there, Julie, in terms of what happens. It's kind of an undercover mission, I suppose, from start to finish, and then there's some kind of like background factual bits and sort of storytelling bits that dip in and out, but that's the basic background. So I mean, Kate, what was your response to watching it? You baked lots of biscuits afterwards, right?
I sure did. And like I said, I listened to the episode we did where we interviewed Julie and her lovely sheep just to get her dulcet tones and soothe my soul after watching it, because I personally found it a really, really hard watch.
Can I ask, Kate, how many, like, I don't know, animal rightsy vegan documentaries do you watch? Is it quite unusual for you to watch something like this, or is that something you is quite familiar to you?
So I don't tend to watch, I like, for example, I haven't watched Dominion, I haven't watched Earthlings, because A, I'm already vegan, and B, I just know it would like rip me to shreds. I mean, I've seen plenty of awful footage, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it just pops up on your feed, doesn't it? I've got plenty of images in my head that are never going away. And actually, I watched Cryspiracy the other day as well, and there's a few grim bits in there. But no, I don't normally make a beeline for films that I know are going to have really horrible stuff in about animals, because I just know it's going to be really upsetting. And I know that sounds terrible, because in a sense it's the least I can do really to kind of witness what's happening to them, I guess.
But depends what state it leaves you in, though, doesn't it?
Well, like, yes,
how did you feel after watching this?
Just to say, while I was watching it, I kind of paused it every so often to have a little break, and I think that's probably a good thing to do if you are struggling with it. Just stop, have a pause, have a walk around. And it's not compulsory if you really are struggling, yeah. But I sort of realised my hands were shaking, my heart was racing, you know. It really had a physical effect on me. That was my reaction. I mean, how did you two react to it? I'm curious to know.
I am not a watcher of anything. I don't have a television set. I've never had one. If I'm watching a film, I'm in the cinema. I don't watch content, films or anything like that on my devices at home ever. I don't sit down or sit still very often. And it's just not a thing with me. It's just, you know, it's not a healthy pastime watching screens as far as I'm concerned. So I'm quite sensitised to things that I see on screen because I'm not desensitised, if you see what I mean. So I watched it through on my own. I did that thing that I do when I'm seeing things that are really grim, and it reminded me of, you know, when I was a nurse and I had to be in situations alongside people suffering and going through grim stuff or in operating theatres or whatever. So I was almost emotionless all the way through, and I was just taking it in and taking it in. And the minute it finished, I really cried. And I didn't even know why. It just all came out. You know, it's sort of like a delayed reaction. But I wasn't feeling like, oh, I wish I hadn't seen any of that. I need this information. I need this kind of awakening and enlightening and all the rest of it. So I'm in the process now of watching it again. So without going into more than the question has asked me, but that was my response, was just to make myself watch it, stick it out all the way through regardless. And then I had a very surprise shower of tears when it finished.
Yeah, I too was surprised. I wanted to be open-minded going into it. Anyone who's listened to episode 43 of Vegan Week will know that I was very skeptical about the trailer and the way in which the film was being cashed. It felt a bit too Joey Carbstrong heavy and not enough about pigs, surely the true subject of it. And I felt very humbled watching it because, do you know what? I think it was really well done. I think it was really well done. And it might just be kind of where it met my sensitivities and my threshold of things. There was a lot of footage of horrid stuff that animals go through, which I think if you can watch it, it's good to have a very vivid reminder of what's going on. Obviously, everyone's got different thresholds to these things, but for me, it was infrequent enough, but real enough to have a really strong impact. But do you know what? Like the way that they did the storytelling, I was really ready to be like, oh God, this is just an ego trip. Like, why are we seeing so much about him? Why is his girlfriend even in the film? What, you know, who's this film about? But it really got me into it. And the bit where they're kind of going in and placing the cameras in this gas chamber and then retrieving them, I kept having to tell myself, you know that they get out because they made the film. You'd know if they died doing this. But I was watching it like really nervous and really like, oh my God. And of course, the horrid stuff that we see for the non-human animals that are featured in the film, you know, really heartrending. And I finished watching the film. I didn't cry. I nearly did on a few occasions, but yeah, it took me to that place. But I came away from watching the film with a sort of renewed fervor, if that's the right word, for speaking up on behalf of animals, which, you know, I try to do anyway, but it topped me up quite considerably. And I'm really glad I watched it. And I didn't think that I would be coming away from the film feeling that way. And you know, I can't think of a time recently when I've been more happy to eat my words, because I was ready to be quite critical of the film. And I think it was really good. I don't know about the two of you in terms of like the storytelling technique, because that was again one of my hesitations is probably not the right word, but having watched the trailer, it looked like, oh God, this is just going to fall into the trap of like a really patronizing plot where we're just like, oh, Joey's going on this mission, and like we all know what's actually going to happen. But I thought that was done really well. Am I being a bit?
Yeah, no, I agree, because it was a really good mix of suspense and action and a storyline. But he didn't just make it about him or even just about this one mission. It went so much broader than that. It was a real exposé of the RSPCA, of the Red Tractor Scheme. And also gave a bit of airspace to the fact that pigs are not the only animals that are gassed as well. You know, the other animals were mentioned. So, yeah, it was all round, I think, the kind of film. I know that one of the questions, you know, you were hoping to discuss, Ant, is about who would we recommend it to. Everybody, really, is my answer to that, because there was enough action in there to make it a film with a story and a plot and a bit of tension, but there was loads of information, but it did not leave me, or by the sounds of things, you, Ant, feeling this is so huge, there's nothing we can do. You know, there was enough kind of, I don't know what it was about it, but there was enough kind of, this system isn't watertight. There will be ways in to sort of systematically bring it down. It's reliant on our ignorance and complicity and our spending money on certain consumer goods that we're already refusing. So, yeah, I think that whole industry is shaky and it really would just take tactics. I've been really, like, because today is the day after for me after watching it, I've just been kind of thinking all day about the fact that it isn't even just about the fact that we can stop buying the products of this industry. If you were to look at it from a tactical point of view, there are lots of other things that are propping up this industry that if we systematically just got in there and took them away, that it would crumble if enough people were to do like the person in the film, go and work in a slaughterhouse and then just say, I'm not going back in there.
What I thought that was really effective, where they, so there was the one guy who like went to work in a slaughterhouse and then basically came out of it like quite soon after and was like, I'm not going back in there. And it a spoiler at the end of the film is that he is now vegan. But there was also the vet, wasn't there? Like, yes. I think a criticism I have of a lot of the kind of health-centric plant-based documentaries is that the people that they've got on them very often are so strident and are so kind of steadfast in their advocacy for a whole foods plant-based diet that it's almost a bit too much, I think. Whereas what was great about those two, going to call them characters, but they are real people, those individuals, is that you saw where they came from. So like the vet has gone in trying to just be a vet in this industry and trying to make a difference. That guy was looking for a job because his wife was about to give birth, or his partner was about to give birth, and he just needed some money. But then through being exposed to this, they now have a completely different worldview. And that, from a storytelling point of view, is so much more compelling than somebody who from like the first frame of the video is like, you must be completely vegan and there's no other way. Like, yeah, I get that you feel that now, but I kind of need to, I'm not quite with you yet. Like, take me on a journey. Otherwise, you're just shouting at me. I thought that was really effective.
I really liked the fact that they talked to so they interviewed that slaughterhouse worker. Oh, gosh, what that was not what he was expecting at all, was it? It was just so sad. And I mean, I recently on some activism that I did, there was quite often, apparently, there's slaughterhouse workers come. This is in Norwich. This is where Norfolk, where the free range pig farm was filmed. And we're like pig central in Norfolk, I'm afraid. It is terrible. But there were two slaughterhouse workers came up, quite confrontational, but they were clearly high on something. Yeah. I mean, you have to feel, well, I do. I mean, do you feel sorry for some of these people that have to work in this industry? Because they don't seem to be getting... I mean, that man was desperate, wasn't he, for a job, like you said. I mean, it's quite hard for some people to get work.
I feel really angered that I don't think it's knowing arrogance. I don't think people are actually consciously thinking this through. But the arrogance that I want chicken, beef, lamb so much. Like that desire, that selfish desire is so strong in me. Not only does someone, a sentient being, have to lose their life, but somebody from a different part of the country, from a lower socioeconomic area, has got to spend their whole day in this environment so I can have this sensation for 10 minutes in my day. Like, in a sense, we shouldn't be comparing injustices, but like, that really evokes a strong reaction in me, because it's not just that, you know, people often say like, oh, if you couldn't kill an animal yourself, you shouldn't eat one. These people are not killing one animal. They're killing thousands every day. They're surrounding it. And like, the studies have shown correlations, not causality, but correlations between some of the horrid things that happen to people who work in those environments. Very often through no fault of their own, there's nothing else that they can do.
I listened to an interview with Dan Shepherd this morning, because I've become a Dan Shepherd fan now from that documentary. I just
who was he, sorry?
He was a man who went in undercover.
Oh, right, okay.
He's an actor, and he went in undercover. He is a vegan activist as well, but he's also, in his day job, he's an actor. So I was listening to an interview with him. I didn't get the whole thing, but I managed to catch a bit of it today. And he was describing the shift he did, this 4 till midnight thing, was the hygiene shift. So he's not killing animals. He's just cleaning up. So he's hosing the blood off the walls and things like that. And what he was explaining was, because it's hot water and he's hosing the blood down off the walls, there's steam everywhere. There is so much pig fat in the air that he is breathing that actually it's sticking to his teeth and the inside of his mouth, so that he sometimes to this day still thinks he can taste it. But he was going about in those few weeks he was working there just tasting that slaughterhouse. And I can relate to that and understand that, because when I've done vigils outside Schott's slaughterhouse, when they are in full swing and they are, you know, going at full tilt and the animals are going in really quickly and all the rest of it, and their burn the hair off the pigs machine is going and going, the air is so thick with the smell that it actually does get into your mouth so that you can taste it. And it takes quite a few washes to get it out, your hair and your clothes and all the rest of it, even the inside of your car. So I can so relate to that.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, shout out to Dan Shepherd. I thought he really helped that film not be all about Joey Carbstrong, who's a big, you know, personality and a big presence and all the rest of it. But I thought he was a brilliant accomplice to Joey in that, very grounded and all the rest of it. So yeah,
there was a point at the start where we hadn't really seen much of Dan, and Joey's kind of like describing like, oh, here's the idea, here's the concept, and I had the perfect guy in mind. At that point, there's kind of been no consent given from Dan. It's just kind of like Joey's just like, I've got the perfect guy to send undercover into a slaughterhouse. And I was just ready for it to kind of like pan to Dan Shepherd being like, what the hell? What? I'm not doing that. What are you talking about? But it does seem that he was consenting to it. We did mention the free range farm, and that was quite a shocking part of it. We spoke to Carlos yesterday about his impression of the film and his thoughts. Let's listen to that now, because he had something to say on that.
Yeah, so I was expecting something far more shocking than what I saw, but then again, I think this movie was not made for vegans or for activists. It was more made for the general public, and it was released on Amazon Prime as a free to view for Prime users. So, you know, it's kind of very wide platform. So it's definitely not a shock movie like Dominion and Earthlings or other movies of that ilk, in case anybody's wondering if they haven't watched it. It's more like an expose on farming practices, specifically the practice of gassing pigs as a form of putting them down before they're cut up for meat. That part wasn't that shocking to me. I always assume these things are as horrible as what we saw in the movie, or even worse. Not that I think they were humane in any fashion. You know, slaughter can never be humane. But what shocked me that I wasn't expecting to see was when they showed, with hidden cameras, with trail cams, they showed this farm, which was a free-range farm for pigs, because I've actually spent a week as a sort of a holiday in Suffolk, and I used to drive past one of those farms every day, like a free-range farm for pigs. And obviously, I didn't stop to look at them. I mean, it looked awful by all means, but it didn't look as nearly as bad as the things we saw in the movie, where the pigs in these free-range farms are treated as badly as the ones who are in enclosed spaces, except for the being in enclosed spaces. But all the things apply, you know, the sick animals being left to just be sick and die by themselves of whatever horrible disease they have, the amputations without anesthetics, animals being butchered with hammers and things like that, which are not even in any kind of regulation, just kind of total lack of any kind of compassion, or, you know, just pure torture, except the torture is not happening in a cage, essentially. I was kind of expecting to see it, but it still shocked me quite a bit. I would say this movie, for vegans, if you're trying to convince somebody to go vegan, maybe not the best one to show, because even though it's not very shocking, it only concerns itself with pigs. And I think people can bond quite easily with pigs because they're very smart and mammals, and, you know, they kind of communicate a lot and you know, with their grunts and have personalities and all that. But I would say, in terms of using a movie to convert people into veganism, I would go for something that broaches more species than just pigs. I hope this movie does have the impact it's supposed to have, which is kind of to improve animal welfare. I'm an abolitionist, so I'm not happy with any kind of, I'm not happy with any kind of welfare measures, but I welcome them. I just, they're not just the end goal. I would not celebrate like a welfare measure, but I would say, well, it's good, I guess. It's better than what we had before, but let's keep going until we do full abolition. But I do hope the movie achieves its goal. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be people converted to veganism because of it. So great. Definitely do watch it.
Thanks for that, Carlos. So a couple of questions that raised for me, obviously, Kate, Julie, like, butt in with any other thoughts you've got based on what Carlos has said there. But the fact that it is just focusing on pigs, like, do we think that's a drawback to the film? Or is it necessary to go into that much detail? Like, is that a limitation?
I think that's okay. The pig flesh industry is massive in the UK. It's only outstripped by chickens, I think, in terms of volumes of animals being killed. It is the one that people, I think, probably need the most education on, in a way. So yeah, no, I think that's fine. I think that is a good place to start. And I think with being a kind of almost single issue campaign, it doesn't take anything away from the impact of the film. Personally, for me, I haven't had I think I've only physically touched a pig once in my life. So it's really inspired me to learn a bit more about them as creatures and to meet a few of them. And I follow a number of animal sanctuaries, actually, you know, on Facebook, and I see posts about them every day and all the rest of it. But in terms of face-to-face communicating with a pig, I've done very little of that, and I would love to do more. And that film has inspired me to seek out those experiences and opportunities.
I found it interesting that Carlos didn't find it shocking, or as shocking as some other films, perhaps, considering my own reaction to it. I think some people will find it shocking. And I think I didn't mind the fact that it was just concentrating on pigs. It told a brilliant story about all aspects of the pig industry. And I mean, like I say, where I live, we have so many, we have many factory farms that are slightly hidden away. And we have many, many free-range pigs as well. And I personally, as I go running around the countryside, I actually came across, right beside the road where I was running, it was a bin, and I just stopped for some reason, and I just looked in, and I could see it was a dead bin right by the road, and it was full of pigs, dead pigs. And I was like thinking, my word, how many pigs must there be in there? There was another bin as well, which I couldn't see into. And I just thought, what percentage of the pigs in this field have died?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why have they died? I mean, I did report it, and it was really hard to find somebody who would take it seriously because, I mean, I know you can't report these things on the animal welfare side of things just by looking, what have you. So I was concerned as well about the biosecurity, you know.
Yeah.
They might have swine flu. There's all sorts of animals predating and spreading, and you know, it's a huge worry as well, that. And in the end, I did contact my MP, who I thought would be useless, but even he found it hard to find out who would take responsibility for it. And in the end, I think it was Trading Standards. And then they did, I think they managed to get, and I took a photograph of the sign on the field, and which said the company phone number, biosecurity, do not enter, and all of that. And I sent it to them, and I think they got their knuckles wrapped. And then all the signs came down, the bins were moved, the pigs were moved elsewhere. But, you know, so there are no signs anymore. So it's now anonymous. You don't know who the company is at all. Mm. So now I go around looking at the fields and thinking, how are those pigs in there? Because you cannot see the sick pigs. I mean, I just thought it was shocking what the farmer did to the, I know it's what they do all the time, but to see how he beat that poor pig was just absolutely horrible, wasn't it? I mean,
it was, you know, horrible.
How did you feel about all that?
So I get what, well, I can't say I get what where Carlos is coming from, because I'm just assuming what he means by it. But I was thinking about it today. I like you, Julie, I watched the film yesterday, and I was thinking today about kind of the impact that it's had on me. And I think part of the reason it has had a strong impact on me is because it has not been as extreme as, say, an Earthlings or a Dominion. I hosted a screening of Dominion about 5 years ago, and my gosh, I don't know how I got through it, but it's really strong, it's really powerful, and I know there's a lot to be said for that. But I really personally struggled to get through it. Earthlings, I have never managed more than the first 10-15 minutes. It has just been too much. And I think what this film did really well is there was enough of the human story, enough of the storytelling in there, and enough non-explicit animal ag footage that when the harsh truths were being shown on screen, like, I mean, that dead bin must have been like the low point of the film, where they're opening that dead bin and looking in, or when the, you know, when the piglets are being born and fitting and dying. Like, there were some real low points in the film in terms of like, my God, this is horrific. When that's happening, I can't watch an hour and a half of that. You know, I'm not ashamed of saying that. I can't watch that. But the fact that there was enough other stuff before then kind of reassured me that, like, right, watch this, Anthony, like, pay witness to that, bear witness to this. It's not going to go on for long because it's not that kind of a film. And I wonder whether that's perhaps what Carlos is meaning in terms of, like, there's some very extreme animal rights videos out there that are documenting what really happens. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, in terms of the tone they go for, this film was not really, really extreme. Also, I think as well, when you think of public vegan activists out there, in terms of well-known vegan activists, like Joey Carbstrong is probably one of the most forthright, outspoken, you know, you've described him as extra before, Julie, like he is out there. So like when he's bringing out his first documentary, we might expect, those of us that know his style, expect it to be an hour and a half of, you know, shouting and extreme stuff going on. Whereas actually, compared to that, this was a bit more moderate. And I personally, I think that's to the film's credit. I think it got the tone just right. But there, I wanted to ask you both, like, there was upsetting scenes there, and I wonder, I'm on Amazon Prime at the moment and looking at it, there is a tiny, tiny little 16 plus in a box. There is nothing saying contains upsetting scenes. There's nothing kind of alluding to that. It's just kind of saying someone goes on a life-risking mission to uncover the truth behind bacon. Is that okay? Like, do we, because there are people who this would be too much for. There's people in my life who it would be too much to watch this stuff. And as much as we can go blue in the face saying, yes, but we need to document this. People need to know, like.
Isn't it strange, though, how many people happily sit and watch a horror film or a slasher movie or something like that, but they can't sit and watch this?
I know people who wouldn't watch either. I take your point and I agree with your point, but I'm saying that there are people who, if that was put in front of them, it would be too much and it would affect them for days afterwards. I think this is such a good film. I'm being overprotective, but I'm kind of like, I think there maybe needs to be something in there that's like, this is going to show footage of horrific stuff happening to animals. Like, you should know that.
I want it to affect people for more than days. I want it to affect people for the rest of their blooming lives.
Even if they're already vegan.
Yeah, because it will re-galvanize them and maybe it might shift.
Do we know that?
I think it will shift people out of just, well, I'm vegan, therefore I'm doing my bit. When to me, it isn't enough that, like, I've heard somebody else say this, these are not my words, but being vegan is the least we can do for the animals. Yeah. Living vegan is the least we can do. What we do need to be doing is making sure that we are part of aggravating for social change, you know, across the board. We need to be speaking up for animals at every single opportunity because they cannot do it for themselves. It's not enough for us to just go, oh, look at us just going round the shops just buying our little peaceful products. You know, if we're not telling other people what we're doing and why we're doing it and what is going on, we are not helping the cause or the animals.
I agree with you, Julie, but I think they're like, you don't have to do that by showing somebody the contents of a dead bin or showing like a stillborn pig or like a piglet fitting and being crushed by its mother and in a farrowing crate. Like, you don't. I agree that like a lot of people need to see that. And I'm somebody who needs to see that. And I think that applies to a lot of people, but it's not a one size fits all thing here, is it? And we can speak up for animals without unwittingly, like if someone's opting in to seeing that, that's fine. But like, I think consent is a really important part of animal rights, and like informed consent, I think, is something that you perhaps need to give somebody before watching a film.
Yeah, I do agree. I tell you what, I do feel galvanised though, Julie. I personally feel galvanised.
Me too.
Yeah. Anyone that gives me the bacon sandwich joke, so-called joke, well, they've you know, beware.
That's what I was alluding to earlier when, you know, we were defending the fact that it was focusing on pigs, is because that's the bit you get a lot, is the comments about bacon and pig meat seems to be, you know, really kind of right through the culture, doesn't it? Just, yeah.
I was going to say, what did you think about the way Joey was talking to people in the streets and then showing them a bit of it? He was like leading them through the red tractor stuff and what did people think about animal laws and things in this country, protection laws. What did you think about all that?
I think he did well. Like, I mean, I'm not always the biggest fan of how he goes about these conversations, but I think in this film, that was the style that I'm a big fan of. Like, it seemed respectful, like he was educating people in a Socratic way. And I thought it was great. I think the tone of the film was so spot on, and I'm always someone to nitpick at things, and not because I want to criticize people, but I think if we focus on how we can improve all the time, then that's a good thing. And my goodness, like, I'm eating my words because I was very critical of the trailer of this film, and I'm coming away saying I think it's really, really, really good.
Well, what about the actual, you know, when he goes into the, or they both, sorry, Joey and Dan go into the they break into the slaughterhouse and to go and lay the cameras. I mean, I was like, oh my God, I was terrified at that point for them. I mean, how did you feel? I don't know if I could do
that. I think there's been a bit of artistic license obviously being used here. They're making out like it's just the pair of them were in there. Obviously, there's a film crew gone with them and all the rest of it. There needs to be, by necessity, a certain amount of that film will have been staged.
Was there though, Julie? I thought there was just one of them had the camera
that there will have been, just to make it possible that there will have been a bit of staging going on, just to make sure they've got the film they wanted to give us to make the point and to get the images and all the rest. So I was quite relaxed throughout that whole bit because I kind of was doing the spot the bits that are staged, but good on them for doing it. And I wasn't even sure if perhaps the scene where, going back to the free range farm, it seemed coincidental that the lame and unwell pig was bludgeoned to death while they were actually filming and watching and all the rest of it.
They weren't though, were they? I thought they left a camera for that bit.
Yeah, but I didn't know whether, because that was filmed quite distant, whether it would have happened. They are absolutely right enough, but I didn't know whether that was perhaps staged also. But yeah, you need to do these things. If the actual images that are a representation of the truth are not available, you know, sometimes you have to reproduce them in real time for your filming schedule or whatever. But I think there might have been some bits that were staged, and I don't see that as a criticism or hold it against the film in any way, but it did make me a bit more relaxed about watching it.
I can't think that it was, because surely they would be picked up. The industry will go, oh no, that's not what it's like, is it? But yeah. I think they would.
I think they needed to have a bit of compliance to do what they've done. I don't think it's possible to break into somewhere like a slaughterhouse at night and do what they did with. I just don't think it's possible. I think there must have been a bit of staging and a bit of compliance on the other side for that.
Yeah, I think, like, certainly in terms of in what order events have happened, and I can definitely see that. Like when you say about the lame pig. Like whether it was actually, we've got this footage of a lame pig being battered. Now let's go back to that farm and sort of make it look like we're placing the thing there or whatever. Perhaps if I had to stake everything I own on, was that segment in the slaughterhouse genuine or not with the two of them, I'd come down on, I think that was real. And it was just the two of them. And maybe I'm really naive saying that. You have to, like you say, Julie, you have to have
I'll
certain
things being
staged. I'll
need to watch it again with the camera angles. But remember, yeah. I was a media studies student. You know what I mean? To me, felt that it had been set up differently from how they were presenting it. But I would need to really analyse it and watch it more carefully again. But it doesn't take anything away from the film.
No, the only bit that I thought was a bit trite and a bit contrived and it didn't really land was the whole let's go to Defra and kind of try and get hold of somebody and things like that. And that was included in the trailer. Am I making it up? Was there something in the trailer where he was like shouting through a megaphone at somebody from Defra? But I don't remember that being in the film.
No.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Was that in the film, though? I don't remember him shouting through a megaphone at Defra.
I think there is another part in the early part of the film when his girlfriend is speaking about her getting to know him, and while she's describing the things that she didn't know about him to begin with, there's then a flashback and it shows you him doing a shouting in a megaphone part as well.
But that was the only bit where it kind of looked like they're doing this, right, we're going to DEFRA and we're going to do this big thing. Yeah. And it felt a bit of a damp squib. But I think all other staging bits, because you have to, like you say, you can't get all the angles and stuff like that, like in their house and things like that. They'll have done several takes and things of that. Like, I feel like that didn't feel too contrived, and there will have been some bits that were just as filmed, I'm sure. I think generally speaking, it landed pretty well, certainly compared to others.
Didn't, though. The one with a guy from the Compassion World Farming was a little bit awkward. And some of his questions, Joey's questions, sadly, were a little bit naive. And again, there was this confusion between pigs getting killed by the CO2 and using that as a means of slaughter and using it as a means of stunning. Mm-hmm. And the two things are not the same. But when he said to someone from, I cannot remember now the title of the body that's in England, about quality meat or whatever it is, standards, but he said, you know that this is inhumane, but you're still killing pigs even though you don't have the right method to do so. I kind of could understand why, you know, that isn't the question to be asking, because, you know, the whole industry is not going to completely grind to halt because they don't have the most humane method. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Doing what they can do legally while they're looking for better ways. I'm not sticking up for them, but it would be naive to think they would just say, oh, well, we're absolutely not doing it at all because we don't have, you know, whatever.
I don't think that's why he asked the question, though. I think he wanted to get on record, on camera, them saying, no, we're not stopping doing it. I don't think it was a sort of persuasive question. It was a, come on, say it out loud, like he was doing with the RSPCA. Like he knew full well that they are sanctioning the use of CO2. He just wanted them to say it, was my interpretation anyway. I think that bit was great, wasn't it? Where he kind of got the RSPCA worried at their little trade show or whatever it was. I was really egging him on there.
I was just going to say, back to the DEFRA thing, I wonder if they put that in, though, because that would have been a criticism of the film. Oh, you didn't get DEFRA. They'd have said, you know, what have you? You've got to give them the chance to come back and say something. So, but yeah,
and wasn't their response maddening? Like, yes. Oh my God, you just think, what hope do we have of our government, really? Like, when this is your response to something like that, you're basically saying, yeah, it's rubbish, we might do something about it if there's enough research, but we probably won't. But what's the point then?
Yeah, absolutely. And the RSPCA, like you say, I mean, my goodness, you know, it is complete humane washing. And I mean, what's happened to that organisation? I remember when I were a girl, we used to get a little magazine, RSPCA, you could be in the club, you know, and they you know, cared about animals and what have you. But now it's just shocking, isn't it? They even get a percentage of the money that is made from selling the animal flesh, don't they? I forget what percentage it is, but I think they get like, is it like 4 million or
four and a half million, I think it was last year. Yeah.
And I'm so glad he lifted the lid on the whole red tractor nonsense as well, and just how absolutely self-electing, self-regulating, self-governing that piece of whatever is that. That is just maddening when I try and tell people, but don't pay attention, these labels are just, you know, they don't mean anything, you know, whatever. It's just like, well, that's just your opinion, Julie. Well, I'm glad it's now in a documentary.
Agreed. We should start bringing the conversation to a close. I'm interested to hear who you would recommend to watch this. I think, Julie, you've already made that quite clear, but there are any other, like, closing comments or observations or questions that either of you wanted to ask?
I would recommend that most people got to watch it, especially people who are completely in denial and still eating meat and bacon and all the rest of it. But obviously I think there are some people some vegans perhaps who would find it deeply, deeply upsetting, and they're already pretty fragile from other stuff that they've been watching. And I think perhaps, you know, if you feel that's you, then don't watch it. You don't have to watch it. You already know. I think it's up to individuals to decide whether or not they want to watch it, to be honest.
You see, I wouldn't have. Because I was in that camp. I thought, well, you know, I'm vegan. I don't need to see this stuff. I'll probably feel upset and all the rest of it. But actually, I'm so glad I've seen it. And yes, it is horrible sitting through some of that. But actually, you can kind of get your head around it and get a bit used to it and get a bit stronger. And yeah, it's made me now think that I will put aside the time and I will watch Earthlings. You think is a strong hitting one. I've not seen that. I don't even know exactly what it's concerning or what it's about, but I'm going to watch that now.
I am not. I mean, Julie, please tell me what you think or tell us what you think of it. But I really, I just don't think I can put myself through that. I really don't. I'm being really honest there. I'm
we'll do a live watch along.
Oh yeah. My God.
Well, I'm happy to give Earthlings a go. Don't ask me to ever try eating that chicken corn thing that I tried the other day. That, yeah, that would be really, I mean, I would do it. I would still eat it. I was absolutely gagging, but I still eat it. But that would be tougher, I think, for me.
Right.
In more senses than one. I think for me, I would really like to see a version of this film to come out that is exactly the same content, but also has the option of not showing the really, really grisly stuff, because I think the strong impact of the RSPCA is full of shit. Red Tractor is full of shit. Here's what DEFRA say. Here's how pigs are being killed. Like, all of that stuff, all of that contradiction, all of that really powerful stuff, I think can get across, and people can know, do you know what, there is also an option to watch some other stuff going on that's been documented here. There is a farmer bludgeoning a pig's head in. There's pigs being killed by, being stunned by the CO2. There is a bin there that is full of decaying remains of dozens of pigs just chucked in a bin. Like, you can see what that looks like too, if you want, click this here or whatever. But I think if there was the option, then I would definitely come down on everyone should see this, and I would recommend it. And I think that's my only hesitation. But do you know what? That's the case with any animal rights documentary. It's been a while since I've seen a documentary or a kind of vegan related, animal rights related production that I felt so strongly in favor of. And I think everyone involved deserves a lot of congratulations for it, because it's going to affect a lot of people. People who aren't yet vegan, but I think like the three of us, people who are vegan, and it will buoy them and kind of give them a fervor to really keep advocating and speak out with renewed enthusiasm. And that's got to be a good thing.
Can I just quickly say also that what came across strongly was the pigs, how they are, the ones which could react to each other, that had contact with other pigs, you know, how protective they were of those that were poorly, because probably knowing full well that a farmer would come along and, you know, do away with them. I mean, that also was really quite heartbreaking. And, you know, so you got a little bit of the emotional side of what pigs are like, you know, and the fact that I know intelligence shouldn't have anything to do with it, but the fact that they are as intelligent as like a four-year-old child. And I think my four-year-old children were in school at that age, you know, they'd already been through nursery. And I know intelligence isn't the way we should be measuring other animals against our own intelligence, but at the same time gives you some idea of perhaps their emotional levels and their, yeah, I thought that was really came across well.
Well, everybody, you've heard what the three of us and what Carlos thinks, but we are just four people. And there are lots of you who will have thought things that we've not expressed. You might disagree with things. There might be things that we've not spotted or vocalized. And we'd really love to hear your thoughts on it. And we will share those in future editions of the show. enoughofthefalafel@gmail.com is the place to send us your thoughts.
Thank you everyone for listening in. Just to remind you that if you're new to the show, there are plenty of other episodes to listen to as well. There's Vegan News, which is out every week, and Vegan Talk, the discussion based show. There's also the Going Vegan series, recorded in January, interviewing people about their transition into veganism. So check those out as well.
Okay, thank you, lovely listeners. The next episode of Vegan Week is coming out on Monday, and that is looking at vegan and animal rights news from the last fortnight.
Anyway, that is enough of the falafel for this episode. I've been Anthony.
I've been Kate.
And I've been Julie, and you've been listening to Vegan Talk from Enough of the Falafel.